Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken, and hello to all of our listeners.
And we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. Thank you for joining us today. I'll be here for the next 2 hours, Father and I for the next hour, talking about the saints in the liturgical calendar. We want to thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio that's kept us on the air for some 40 years now. And we can't do it without you. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Father and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. We're going to start doing a newsletter, and if you go out to ourhouseministries.org and look for the newsletter page, you'll be able to subscribe, and when that starts to come out, you'll be sure to get a copy. We'd certainly appreciate it. Father and I are also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. Just a couple quick announcements. Golf outing's coming up on Monday, October the 10th. We're going to be back at Old York Road Country Club in Springhouse. You can get all the information on our website at inhissign.com. Scroll to the bottom of the homepage, and there's a link there you click on to download the brochure. It has all the sponsorship opportunities. You can register to play golf either as an individual or a foursome. You can sponsor a priest, and it's one of the highlights of the day is to see the number of priests that actually come out. One of these years we're going to get Father McKay out there, I know it, but whack that little white ball around. It's great food. We have lunch and dinner, play golf in between, silent auction during dinner, and raise some much-needed funds. So, again, that's Monday, October the 10th at Old York Road Country Club in Springhouse. Also, our Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel Church is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 a.m. to about 6 p.m. All are more than welcome to come down and make a pilgrimage, especially in the summer. Perhaps you have kids that are getting antsy and you got to get out of the house, bring them down. And visit Matt Talbot. If you get in touch with us before you come down, we'll do our best to make arrangements to meet you in the church. We can even talk to you a little bit about Matt Talbot and who he is and why he's so important. So you can get in touch with Father or I through that Our House Ministries website. Either send us an email, give us a call, and we'd be more than happy to accommodate you. All right, how about we get started with prayer? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Monica.
Pray for us.
St. Mark G. and St. Maximilian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
St. Camillus de Lillis and St. John of God.
Pray for us.
St. Francis and St. Clair.
Pray for us.
Saints Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the angels and saints.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain with us always.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace.
Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
And I just want to put in relation to Matt Talbot, to put a prayer request out there for our prayer warriors. We may have a miracle attributable to Matt Talbot, but unfortunately, Matt Talbot's cause doesn't currently have a postulator in Rome. And the vice postulator in Ireland isn't jumping on the on this miracle. So we need our prayer warriors to pray for two things. One, that Father, our friend Father Lawless, who we actually had on the radio back in 2014 when he was in town to do our Calyx retreat, that the Holy Spirit lights a fire under him to get motivated and get the information, and then that the Holy Spirit will prompt somebody to get us a postulator in Rome. And I think I mentioned last week that each postulator in Rome can handle up to 50 causes, because obviously they're not working on each cause every day. And there's currently an Irish Franciscan priest, we're told, that is a postulator, but we're not sure how many causes he's working on, and hopefully this is one that he'd be able to take on and get moving. So we ask you to keep that in prayer. All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The number's 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. We especially want your calls as we approach the bottom of the hour. When we come back from the break, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. And if God's touched you in a particular way in the last couple of weeks and you want to share it with our listeners, we'd love to hear from you. We'll give out those numbers again before we go to the break. We are currently in the 16th week in Ordinary Time, and we have a few saints that we're celebrating this week. Father mentioned Camillus Dolellus, and we celebrated his feast day on Monday the 18th. Today, St. Apollinaris. Tomorrow, I'm done on this side, flip me over, St. Lawrence of Brindisi. On Friday the 22nd will be St. Mary Magdalene, and on Saturday the 23rd, St. Bridget of Sweden. And because a number of our listeners are either in recovery, in need of recovery, or have a relative in recovery, or a friend in need of recovery, everybody knows somebody that's either in or needs it. We wanted to start out talking about Camillus Dolellus. Now, Camillus wasn't an alcoholic. He wasn't a drug addict, but he did struggle with an addiction, and that would be gambling. St. Camillus was born... I just had it in front of me. I got too many notes in front of me, Father. Here we go. Was born... Dun, 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 dun. I'm all over the place here. Sambo. Sorry, folks. Here we go. He was born in 1550, and he would die on July the 14th, 1614. His father was a soldier, and Camillus followed in his father's footsteps, and he would eventually get involved in fighting the Turks. And but at 17, he was afflicted with a disease in his leg, and that would stick with him for life. He would enter this San Giacomo Hospital for Incurables, originally as a patient and a servant, and then he got tossed out after 9 months. It says that he served in the Venetian army for 3 years, and I think he actually did two tours. He went, had the issue with the leg, came out, went to San Giacomo. When he felt better, he went and got back involved again. Then in 1574, at the young age of 24, Camillus gambled away everything he had, and that included any money he had, his weapons, obviously, as a soldier. A lot of these folks had to, buy their own weapons, their own armaments, the clothes that they would wear, and was literally down to his shirt. He would accept work at a Capuchin friary in Manfredonia, and he was eventually... would have a devotion to the sick, where he wanted to care for the sick. The hospitals in those days weren't all that great, and he would see the suffering Jesus in them. And so he would eventually gather up some friends, some followers, and together they would take care of the sick, eventually starting an order. And you know, one of the interesting things was that St. Philip Neri was actually his confessor. And from that, Camillus would study for the priesthood and would be ordained at the age of 34. They didn't listen to Philip Neri. Philip Neri wanted them to stick around, but Camillus left San Giacomo, and he founded the congregation of his own, as mentioned before. And it was all around charity. He wanted to help those that were sick. And one of the things that he did was actually a forerunner of the International Red Cross, where some of his men were with the troops that were fighting in Hungary and Croatia in 1595. So it's the first recorded military field ambulance. So as mentioned, I believe that they would wear red crosses to identify themselves. And again, a forerunner to the International Red Cross. Also, there was another instance where in Naples there was ships that would come in and out. One had a bunch of men in the galleys that were suffering from the plague. They weren't allowed to come in a lot. They weren't allowed to come into port. So Camillus and his men went out to them. And actually, a couple of the men contracted the plague and would die. Also, one of the things that Camillus came to realize is that some of the people were actually being buried alive. And so he came up with a policy, if you will, to wait 15 minutes before you put everything over the face of the deceased so as not to smother them and make sure that they were really dead. When I started to read that section, Father, I was expecting to see the part where they would bury them with a bell in the casket in case they, you know, come to down there. But now I was to wait those 15 minutes to make sure that they were passed. And you know from your own experience, you know, how sometimes it wasn't quite 15 minutes, but could be a fairly long time in between those last two breaths. Anyway, Camillus himself suffered the disease of his leg throughout his life, and in his last illness, he would actually crawl around from bed to bed to see if anybody else in the hospital needed help. And he would eventually die on July the 14th in 1614. And I believe he was canonized in 1746. Camillus de Lellis, whose feast we celebrated on Monday the 18th.
Yeah, I was thinking when you were saying that Camillus de Lellis wait 15 minutes as he would work with the sick as they would die. And Teresa Avila, you know, they had her grave dug, ready to put her in, and the father wanted to wait a whole day, and she came too. You know, she would have been buried, you know, and we would have missed a lot from her.
Mm.
But yeah, that bell ringing, you know, the grave keepers, they lived on the cemetery grounds, and they would have the bell that would be in the casket, and if they would wake up in their casket, they would ring the bell, and the grave digger would come and dig the body up. I believe, like Thomas Kempis, one of the things that was against his canonization, who wrote the wonderful classic work of The Imitation of Christ, was when they exhumed his body, his hand was like scratching and gnawing at the door of the casket, and they said he died in despair. So anyway, that's interesting. I didn't know that about Camillus de Lellis, that 15 minutes. But yeah, sometimes I remember, Ken, I would wait, gosh, I was thinking of one woman, she had 10 children. We thought she was gone, and every child, you know, went up and gave their farewell and was doing the rosary. And you know, right at the end of the rosary, we were like on the last decade, and Catherine Lawler, she stopped breathing. And each family member went up, thank you, Mom, you know, you were a wonderful mom. And this went on for, I don't know, probably close to 15 minutes. We're just standing around. And so we're leaving. We're leaving her down the hallway, and all of a sudden she's starting to breathe again. And Mother Agnes said, "Let's finish the rosary." And we finished the rosary, and she stopped breathing. And it was the feast day. Always remember that, Ken. It was the feast day of August the 8th, the feast day of that great saint, Saint Dominic, the designer of the Holy Rosary. But getting back to Camillus de Lellis, it's amazing because his mother was 59 years old when he was born, and he was a big man. He was 6'6". And as you said, he became a soldier when he was 17. But family members took him and, you know, adopted him, but they were really cruel to him. So he really had a tough upbringing. And he couldn't wait to get to his father. But his father was very angry, you know, professional gambler, and they both became professional gambler. But one of the things that I really wanted to talk about, that he had a devotion to the precious blood of Jesus. And he has his moment of truth. And I think about those who suffer with addictions, whether it's gambling or sexual addiction, pornography or drugs or alcohol, that, you know, people talk about those special moments, those special moments of truth, those grace occasions, those turning points in their lives. And for Camillus de Lellis, you know, things were pretty bad. I mean, it was twice that he tried to lead himself to conversion, and he just kept going back to gambling, and it was really bad. He would lose his shirt, as you would say. It would reduce him to want and to shame, and he was in charge of working on a cart with a donkey. And the kids were laughing at him this particular day when he has his moment of truth. But he has this moment, and he just falls down on his knees. Like, he had enough. You know, he's disgusted with the past life. And he cries out to heaven for mercy. And the words, "Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me." And all of a sudden, the graces flow in. And this is his turning point. And he gets up and, you know, starts his conversion experience. That was 1975. He was 25 there. And, you know, tries to really get into monasteries and all, but because of the sore leg. And he had bad digestion, too. So he suffered a lot physically. But that's, I really believe, people who suffer physically and they're sickly, they seem to have a special connection with people who are sick. And he did. You know, that's why the ministers of the sick, and he would go out, you know, and care for the sick, and they started, of course, the order of the ministers of the sick, the Camillian Fathers, and they would go in, and just Camillus would have lay people behind him, and they would make beds and wash the sick and prepare them and get them ready to come and to receive the priest for confession and to be ready for that moment to meet Jesus. But also Camillus would have his moment, you know, it was so sickly, and, you know, his time was coming, and he was, like I said, devoted to the precious blood of Jesus. And at his death, he thanked God for the merits of the precious blood. And he stretched out his arms in the form of a cross, and he died July 14, 1614. But there it is, the precious blood, because he did a lot of bad things. He called himself a great sinner. And we don't know all the sins, you know, that he made public, but he was a great sinner. And it was the precious blood of Jesus that washed him clean. And that's how it is for all the addicts, too, you know. Sometimes they're just beating themselves up all the time and can't come to forgive themselves or really believe that God forgives them. But once that happens, it's just like it's new life. It's abundant life. You look at that cross, we see God's mercy and love for us. And Jesus Christ crucified, have mercy on us all. And Camillus experienced that. And that was the real great turning point. And boy, did he become a holy man, a saintly man. But that moment of truth, I think about that so often. I look back at the book I wrote, which is my Anointing Echoes, showing my different turning points in my life. But they're all grace occasions. And it's like the Lord's hand is always there, always fashioning. He lets us fall down. He picks us up. He lets us fall down. He picks us up. But he's always there for us. And it's that great mercy and love that he has for us. Oh, souls, do we really know who we are? You know, God loves us so much that he's always with us. And Camillus experienced that in 1575, that conversion, when he was disgusted with his past sins. He fell on his knees, cried to the heavens for mercy, banged on the gates of heaven, "Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me." Reminds me of Matt Talbot, too, Ken. You know, Jesus, mercy, Mary, help. Jesus, mercy, Mary, help. It's all about divine mercy, divine grace, turning points, and responding to those graces, because the grace is always there. And I'll just end with this acronym for grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. He foot the bill. He paid for it. He gives us new life, forgives our sins, destroys our death, and transforms us into himself. We just have to be cooperative and receive that beautiful hand of Jesus, who picks us up into that abundant life, that to make our joy complete because of who we are, His brothers and sisters created in God's image and likeness.
Yeah, and it, you know, with all the saints, we know that they're infused and actually accept that grace, that same grace that God provided to Camillus de Lellis and the other saints. He's more than happy to give it to each one of us, and it's a matter of whether or not we're, you know, ready to accept it. And we see it so much with you know, our friends who do struggle with addiction, and you know, with Camillus it was a little bit different, but you know, the addiction to gambling, which I think so many people struggle with today. Like I have a son now who's actually working in customer service for online gambling, and he took the job. It's not where he wants to end up, but you know, was able to get hired and start a his career path anyway. And the number of people that he gets calls from, and you know, they either want their money right away and it takes a few days to get it, or they've gambled away their money and trying to find a way to get it back, or act like the company made a mistake. But it really is, you know, so sad the impact that gambling has. And you know, even the lottery, they advertise it as, you know, benefits senior citizens, and it's like, well, just because the seniors seem to get a cut of it doesn't mean that it's a good thing. I had a neighbor who struggled with alcohol for a while, but like me, it was gambling that it eventually brought him down, and it was the, you know, lottery tickets. And you know, mine was more sports betting than gambling, and then, you know, that was on top of the alcohol. And you know, I say it all the time, if I had enough money, I would have kept on doing what I was doing. But it was the lack of money and having to fess up to Sue, you know, that we were broke. And that was really what brought me to my knees. And you know, like a lot of the saints that we've talked about, it's there's something that literally brings people to their knees and forces them to turn to God, because He's the only resource that can truly help us. We may turn to family members, we may turn to friends, but in the end, it's God that works through them to get to us. And we have to get to the point where we finally throw up our hands and say, you know, I can't do this anymore, I can't drink anymore, I can't drug anymore, I can't gamble anymore, and ask for God's help. And so many times we've heard, you know, people say that they've done just that. You know, they're, you know, they finally throw up their arms and, God help me. And somehow or other, God, in some cases, is able to get the right person to the right place at just the right time and provide that moment of grace that the addict needs in order to find a path to recovery. And I know that doesn't help a lot of folks that have kids and grandkids, nieces and nephews that are struggling. We've got that great odd, but God will share after the break. And I don't know that it's great yet. The story's not over, but anyway, you know, that moment of grace that God provides, and then, you know, why do some get it and others don't seem to? And I don't think we'll ever quite know the answer to that, except that we, you know, we keep praying, we keep trying, and you know, hopefully sooner or later they're willing to accept God's hand, usually through the hand of somebody else, in order to find their way to the life that's happy, joyous, and free, and not tied down with some burden of addiction that many people struggle with. And I think this one of gambling, we've got a couple of people that come to Calyx that were gamblers. I mean, they weren't drunks, they weren't drug addicts, they were gamblers. And I think with the, especially now with, you know, the fact that you can have a casino on your phone, you know, you never have to leave your house to go to a casino now. I think we'll see far more folks that, you know, struggle with that gambling addiction, unfortunately. And just because they say, you know, call 1-800-GAMBLER, you know, they seem to think that they can, you know, get away with inflicting a lot of pain on a lot of people. But it's the same thing, right, Father? We're all looking for that that ecstasy, that joy, that rush that you get from alcohol or a pill or a drug. And the same thing happens with gambling. I know that there's a lot of there's that great rush that comes with winning, but and you keep chasing that, just like you chase that first high or that first drunk that you have, but you never really get it, and eventually it's it not only destroys you, but it can destroy whole families if not caught soon enough.
I was thinking too, Ken, my cousin Danny, he committed suicide because he owed about $25,000 to his debtors, and they were coming after him and threatening him for his life. And he drove his truck, down Oregon Avenue right into the Delaware River and drowned. And they have a big guardrail up there now with the river. And I always think about my cousin when it come back. But it is that cry of the poor. I was wondering, if my cousin just cried out to Jesus, Lord, help me. I was thinking of Bill Montroy, Ken, the cry of his moment of truth and how he would cry out like Matt Talbot when he went to the office the first day that he's sober and he's shaking and the boss tells him to get out. And he had enough, and he runs out and he runs into a church, Bill Montroy, and he cries out to Jesus to help him. And then he leaves there and then he goes to St. Joseph's Church and he cries out again, to the Lord, help me, help me. And then he's home in his house, in his bedroom, and he cries out, help me, to the Lord. And the Lord does. He has his moment of truth, and right from there, you see, he gets that help that he needs. We must go to God for the help. We must go to God.
Amen. I'm going to try and squeeze a call in here before we go to the break, Father.
All right.
Hello, Mike.
Hello, Ken. Hello, Father. How are you?
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, it's good to hear you, and it's good to hear about the addiction and why did it happen to me and why did I get sober and I don't know, but I don't know, January 25th, 1987, I surrender, and they say you got to surrender to win, and I was just tired of it, there was no, and I found out that God brought me to AA and AA brought me to God, and but I had to get sober first, and what a transformation that I went through, from being sober and got a life and beyond my wildest dream, and to be happy, joyous, and free, free from, to compare myself to myself, and free from this addiction of alcohol, and there's other addictions, but the seven deadly sins, I always deal with one way or the other, and gambling, greed, and gluttony, and lust, and all of them that I deal with. But as long as I don't drink or drug, I got a shot at them other ones, and I recognize them today, and what an awakening, what I mean, and why me and not somebody else, and I just feel like I can live by example, and I was thinking about my father. He got sober, and he brought me to 4021 when I was 14 years old, and they were saying the Our Father at the end of the meeting. I said, "Are you kidding me?" And it took me 13 more years to get back in there, and thank God I did. But I think back on the situations that I put myself in, and how God was there, and I didn't want to recognize God, I had a different God, and it was alcohol and drugs, and didn't even realize it, things happened to my family when I was younger, and my father was alcoholic, and there was always fighting going on and stuff like that. So, at age seven, I didn't believe in God, because why would God do this to my family, And I didn't recognize that until I got sober. I was looking at God through a kid's eyes, and then I became an adult and recognized and brought back to my Catholic religion, and I was looking at it from an adult's set of eyes, and it's so, the transformation that happened when I came to believe in Jesus Christ and the sacraments, and what I went through, I've been through all the sacraments as a as a young kid, and but I didn't really recognize them until I got sober and appreciate them and understand the gifts that I received and how the Holy Spirit's in my life. But that all came with being sober and
Amen.
Transformation. And, but I can go on and on about addiction and how it just can controls your life and destroys people's life, and you don't even care. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know how many nights I kept my parents up or almost burnt the house down. And poor me. It's poor me another drink. It's simple, but it's not easy. But
that's right.
Well worth it. Well worth it. And I compare myself to myself, and I'm very grateful. And God has put things in my life that I don't deserve. I thought I didn't deserve. Until I got sober and I realized, there's nobody. There's nobody better than me. I'm no better than anybody else, but there's nobody better than me.
Amen.
We're all born in the image and likeness of God.
Yeah.
And more will be revealed as you get sober, transformations happen, and you find out, you're born in the image and likeness of God, and you start to deal with situations and how you can get through them. And they're the rewards of finding out that God's in my life and I can handle situations that sometimes bounce. These are our promises.
Yep.
And they come true, and everything that you go through, you recognize today, and it's only through the grace of God.
Yep.
And the more grace I receive, the better person I become. The more grace I receive, and more is revealed to me. My eyes are opened up more. But addiction.
Yep.
I can go on and on and on about
yep.
it because it's so powerful. It's so powerful, but.
Yeah.
So
well,
all you gotta
Mike,
do is you just gotta let go and let God.
Amen. We gotta take a break, Mike.
Amen. All right, guys.
All right, good to hear from you.
Thanks,
all
Mike.
Right, I'll talk to you. I'll be listening in.
All right,
yeah.
Care,
pick up over the
all
break.
Guys.
All right, for those that have an odd or God and you want to get in touch with us, the number is 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or call us toll free 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Butchie, call that up.
I'm writing this radio commercial on the 22nd of August, Feast of the Queenship of Mary, and on also, which was the apparition of Our Lady of Knock yesterday. This is the very first time I was ever led to do a commercial break on a specific date and then be asked to publicly note it. And thanksgiving to all of you for supporting us these past four decades in fidelity and love. I commend each of you and every single member of your families to Mary, Queen of Heaven and Earth. Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. In his sign, Catholic Radio is under the patronage of St. Maximilian Kolbe. Our studio is called Kolbe Communications Center. We too continue to preach and teach the truth of our one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church under the mantle of the Immaculate. As with the woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head, I am standing in faith and I am praying for the next 12 months. 12 stars may come forth to be the corona shining through the darkness at this time in this age to help keep this apostolate on the air, to preach, to teach, to heal, to deliver. The teachings of our one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Will you be one of those stars? I'm praying for 12 stars to help keep In His Sign Catholic Radio on the air. Thank you and God bless you.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and Father Douglas McKay. And I just want to add to, you know, what Kathleen has said, to, you know, thank you for all that you've done for us. And, you know, if you can do more, by all means, get in touch with us. We'd certainly appreciate it. We do have a caller on the line. We're going to go to Luke. Hello, Luke.
Yo, Ken. What's going on, brother?
Not too much. How are you?
Hello, Luke.
How are you, brothers?
All right. How are you? How's that great family of yours?
Truly, truly blessed. There's a, you know, a couple. There's a funny, Father, you always talk about the dimes, right? And,
right.
You know, you can say the king took it a step further that he decided to swallow a dime today. So that was a, a good blessing. All's well. Everything's good. But I just thought it was, you know, kind of leads into all of our dime stories. That's one for the book, Father.
Yeah.
I guess we'll be monitoring, huh?
Yeah, just as long as he doesn't turn that dime into two nickels.
That'd
be great.
Man.
But you guys really inspired me talking about St. Camillus. And then I wanted to share my honor God. But, you know, one of the best quotes I've ever heard from St. Camillus was about commitment. Commitment is the desire to do something after the feeling that you set it in has left. So just for us in that, you know, while we feel that commitment, hey, this is really great, I'm going to do it. But how do we actually do that thing that when the moment that we set it in, that feeling has passed? So that's real, true commitment in our lives. That it's not just a feeling-based commitment, but it's an actual, true, dedicated commitment. So that was just great. You know, that was almost the outer God right there. You guys were talking about St. Camillus, and that's, you know, one of the more obscure saints in my life that I've ever heard of. And there's this beautiful quote, so... Just wanted to share that, but then wanted to share a beautiful outer God. So the quick story is I had a miraculous medal chain that I had for, you know, a while, and it was actually, the miraculous medal was actually my grandfather's from World War II. You know, he carried it with him the whole time, and I was able to get a hold of it, and I was wearing it, and then all of a sudden I lost my chain, probably about, I think it was this past March. And I found out that my nephew was going into the army, and I was like, man, you know, I really wanted to give it to him. He's not really practicing the faith. No one in his family, you know, my sister or any of the other siblings, are really practicing the faith. I was like, how cool would it be if I could give that to him? But I lost it. And I, you know, tearing apart the house, trying to think of everything for the past few months. So this past Saturday was his going away party. He was enlisting on Monday to go to boot camp, and my wife's there. We're all there, and she takes the little ones home, and doesn't she send me a picture like 8 o'clock at night? Within her hand is the actual miraculous medal chain that I've been looking for about 6 months. And it's, you know, the day before that he's going to leave to go in the army. So she dropped it back off, and I was able to give it to my nephew and tell him the significance that, you know, it was his great grandfather's who served in World War II that kept him safe. So yeah, I just wanted to share that, that beautiful honor God moment of, you know, right time, right place. And it was just a beautiful interaction, and who knows what that might do for him and his walk and his journey of faith.
Amen.
That's great, Luke. Hey, Luke, do you remember what day was that you found it?
Saturday.
What was Saturday, the date?
16th.
Okay, because I was thinking of from the 18th to the 19th was the apparition, the first apparition of our Blessed Mother, the St. Catherine Laboure, at midnight, where the little boy, or angel, leads her down, Catherine, to the seat, and the Blessed Mother comes down and prostrates in front of the altar in the tabernacle, and she sits there, and Catherine puts her hands on the Blessed Mother's lap for 2 hours. She calls it the greatest beautiful time of her life. And usually in the apparition, Mary's above the earth on a cloud, but here, Catherine had her hand so close to her as our mother, and then Mary, you know, saying a lot of bad things are going to happening like they're happening today, and she gives us the remedy. Go to the altar. All the remedies are there, and great graces will be received. So I was just thinking it was right around that time, you know, that you find the miraculous medal as well.
Well, you can look at it as he was enlisting, I think, you know, he was flying away, I think, on the 18th. So you can...
All right. Yeah.
You can throw it in that mix.
Yeah, maybe that's where you put it on.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Awesome, guys. Thanks for letting me jump in and say a little bit of a hello. So Nah. Great talking to you guys.
Nah, great to hear you. Hope that we cross paths one of these days. It's been too long.
Definitely sooner than later.
All right, brother.
All right,
be good. All right, God bless. Bye-bye now.
Right.
So I wanted to share one, and it actually involves both Father and I. I was at our the men's group at St. Luke the Evangelist on Saturday morning. I know Luke's part of a gospel reflection group. Patrick here, our engineer, is part of one. And we have one at St. Luke's, 7 a.m. on Saturday morning. And towards the end, we asked for prayer requests, and you know, one of the guys chimed in and said that he had a friend who's got a daughter who's struggling with alcohol and was put out of a shelter because of a physical altercation. And so I noted the young lady's name and, you know, keep her on my prayer list. And then Monday I get down to Our House Ministries, and Father tells me he got a phone call on Sunday about the girl with the same name. And it was the parents that were, you know, getting in touch with them, you know, looking for some help. And, you know, same deal, was in a shelter, got put out for a physical altercation. We haven't confirmed it yet, but we're pretty certain based on the stories that, you know, it's the same name, same age, same story with the, you know, being in a shelter and having to be put out. And I just thought it was, you know, it definitely wasn't odd, but it was God that got a couple different folks that relaying the same story to Father and I for this young lady that needs help. And so, you know, we're keeping her in prayer, of course. And we'd ask you to, you know, just pray for an anonymous girl. I don't want to reveal the, you know, the name. I don't know that anybody that knows us or knows her is listening, but if you could just keep a young lady that's in need of help in prayer, we'd certainly appreciate it.
Yeah. And Ken, I did talk to the mother of the girl, and also we had a good talk, and then her daughter called me, and we had a good talk, and really her heart's so open for God, and she wants to go to confession, and took our information for our website, Our House Ministries, and our Calyx Society, and she says, this is exactly what it sounds like I need. So it's like on schedule as planned, how everything leads, you know.
Amen.
That the Lord leads to that moment of truth, but also the people that we need in our path to help us along, to help us to get strong and really to develop our spirituality in our lives and to stay strong and to remove ourselves from all addictions, really, and just be sensitive to the Lord's love and His presence so that we can, what we receive as a grace, to go out and give as a grace to others. But God's right there. It's, you know, odd or God, it's always divinely ordained, divinely orchestrated. Every step, every breath, every heartbeat along the way until we come home, we'll know that the Lord was always there for us.
Amen. Well, don't have anybody else on the line. You have any others, Father?
No, I think I did have one, but, you know, I got that COVID fog, and I forget. But they're so constant, you know, so many wonderful, beautiful, divine touches throughout the day and the week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just have
but,
to be.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I was hoping Butchie would call in. You know, he had a powerful one. You know, but he was supposed to call last week. But anyway, it was great to see him at breakfast this morning. We had a great time, didn't we, Ken?
Yeah.
After Mass.
Yeah.
And there was nine of us. I said, it's the novena there. You know?
Yeah, we're going to need a banquet hall sooner or later.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was really. Guy, I just felt the divine presence with us right there as we took bread together.
Yeah. Yep, we're growing. Then sooner or later, we got to start splitting a check.
I know.
Poor Chuck, he got beat pretty bad this morning, but
oh,
he
wow.
volunteered.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
no, he didn't get any arguments.
No. I just hope we don't see his car down at Live trying to get the money back. Anyhow, maybe that's calling now for a loan.
Yeah.
But the next saint we were going to talk about is Bonaventure. We got a caller on the line, so just real briefly, Saint Bonaventure was born in.
Ken, you want to take the caller first?
I don't know if it's for us or not.
Yeah, well, maybe if I can end with Camilla's dilemma.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was just that, you know, it's that moment of truth, that grace occasion, such turning points where God really reveals himself the most to us and gets us out of that hole, that ditch where we were sharing, what was the Good Samaritan and that story you used, that we're the ones in the ditch and the Lord gets in that ditch and he pushes us up and out, you know, that he's always there. But that moment of truth where we really see his hand and we feel we experience his presence, we know his presence. But again, that moment of truth there for Camillus was when he was next to the donkey, you know, and it reminded me of that story that I wanted to end with about a donkey, where he's with the donkey and he falls on his knees, he cries out to heaven, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. But it's like we keep turning, we keep making that turn, we keep letting our sinfulness behind us, you know, and we just keep taking the Lord's hand and following him. But it was the story of the donkey that I was going to share was Shake It Off, and it was, here's the story. One day, a farmer's donkey fell into a well, and the animal cried for hours as the farmer tried to figure out what to do. Finally, he whispered to himself, oh, well, the donkey's old, and the well needs to be filled up anyway. I'll just call some neighbors to help me bury the old beast. Well, the neighbors came, and they began shoveling the dirt into the well over the donkey's back. At first, the animal realized what was happening and cried horribly, and then it suddenly got quiet. Shovel loads later, the farmer looked down the well, and he saw the donkey. And what the donkey was doing was it was shaking the shoveled dirt off its back, each shoveled dirt off its back, and it would step up. The next shovel dirt, it would shake it off its back and step up. And soon the beast simply stepped up over the edge of the well and trod it off. And so the moral of the story is that we're hit with so much stuff in our lives, you know, so much pain and suffering and setbacks and temptations and trials and tribulations. It's like it hits our back. Shake it off. Shake it off. Like Camillus and like the saints. Shake it off and step up into the kingdom of God. Be at peace. Be with the Lord now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. All right. We're going to go to the phones. Hello, George.
Ken, how you doing, buddy?
All right, brother. How are you?
You call in, George.
I had a feeling we'd hear from George.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Good, George.
Good. It's I guess the honor God is that I tuned in. I haven't been able to, but tuned in and then heard the topic and said, I have to give you guys a call. And I heard my friend Luke call in, so I said, I have to call in. But, just briefly, I like that that your radio program hits other addictions as well, because in my opinion, you know, gambling's tough to recognize. You know, you don't have any smell in your breath or you know, any type of needle marks in your arm, but it causes, in my opinion, just as much devastation to the addicted, and the repercussions are far-reaching. You know, it just debilitates families, and I see it now because I'm in recovery for it, and what Ken said is what's happening at these meetings. Younger people are coming in totally devastated because they have access 24/7 on their phones, and I just can't relate to that. But I feel, you know, I just feel for these folks because, it's that's insane to me. That I can't wrap my head around, you know, trying to recover when you have a phone with you and you could access anything you want, you know, to do that. But aside from that, Father, I wanted to call. I'm calling with a heavy heart, to be honest with you. And every time we talked and I've seen you, always ask for Rudy, but we had to put our buddy down. He finally succumbed. But, you know, all is well. Father, I'll tell you, I am so shocked at how I reacted to the whole situation. There are some humans that passed away that it didn't affect me that as much at all. And I told a couple dog people, you know, that, and they were like, oh, yeah, you're not telling me anything I don't know. So I had no idea, you know, how it would affect me. But, all is well now, but I just wanted to call in and touch base with you guys.
Thanks, George. I just wanted to, I wanted to share the story. Another dog, I think I probably told you, I'd like to share it with our listeners, that they were putting their dog down, Josie, and they asked if I would come first and say a prayer. And I went down, and I was looking at Josie, and Josie's eyes were just really riveted on me as I'm saying the prayer over Josie. And at the end of the prayer, I looked at Josie, and I said to Josie, "I'll see you in heaven." And Josie winked at me. And I'll always remember that. And then they put Josie to sleep. But I often think of Isaiah, you know, on this mountain, the cow and the bear will graze together. You know, the lamb will lay down with the lion and all this, you know. And, you know, all these things about animals, you know. They're special to us. God gives them to us. And I think of a lot of the saints, like Philip Neri. I mean, he had a bird, a cat, and a dog. St. John Bosco had a dog that was always appearing to him and helping him. So, you know, man's a faithful friend, right? But, yeah, God bless Rudy. And I know it's hard for the family. How many years, George?
14.
14 years, yeah. It's like a member of the family, really.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, George. Okay. Great to hear from you, pal. Good to hear your voice. You know, the roll book down on there on Tuesday night every week now, it's got you marked absent. You got to do a couple years of summer school.
Summer school, yeah.
You're right. You're right. And I think you owe me lunch, too, so don't forget that.
Okay, brother. You come down Tuesday night, I'll buy you dinner.
You got it.
All right, brother.
See
good.
See you, Father. Thank you.
All right. Take care, George.
All right. And we are going to go to Tom. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Ken. I know time is short, so I'll be brief. I just want to put in a holy plug for last night's adoration and mass and confession at St. Gabriel's. You know, we get together for that, the calyx, once a month. And that adoration and mass and confession was just so powerful. I mean, we had a lot of people there last night, and I think Father will agree there were a lot of people that went to confession. I know I got a lot out of it, and that's all part of the process. You know, the confession is just so important to stay in that zone, and it really, really was very meaningful for me last night.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to get that out, that people should really, really make a special effort to get to the adoration and mass and confession. I think, Father, you did a lot of confessions. The meter was running. I mean, you were busy.
Yeah.
That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. And for those that are listening, if you weren't, I think we advertised it last week, but the third Tuesday of each month in August, it'll be August 16th. We'll remind you again, but we have our Matt Talbot benediction and mass in St. Gabriel Church. It's usually 6 till about 8 o'clock. We have a holy hour with adoration and confessions. If there's any priests listening, Father McKay could use some help here in those confessions last night. We don't want to cut anybody short if they want to go to confession, but we were getting close to it last night. But come on down. Again, 6 o'clock on the third Tuesday, and you won't regret it. There was a lot of penance last night, too, with the heat. So even the folks that didn't go to confession were doing penance. All right. We're going
to go. I was thinking it was good, and there were good confessions. You know, it's really, I couldn't even be aware of the heat, you know, so filled up with Jesus working through me and touching the souls. But how Tom can say that was such a powerful holy hour in that kind of heat. You know, I was always concerned about everybody. Oh, it's so hot and all that.
Yeah.
I think I tell that little story, Ken, with the priest that came up at Mass, and it was like the hot night, like it was last night in church, St. Gabriel's, and everybody's fanning themselves with the missalettes, and the priest gets up, and he proclaims the gospel, and then he gives his homily. He says, "You think it's hot here?" And he sits down.
Amen. Very good. Well, it looks like
homilies ever heard.
Yeah.
Short
I don't,
and sweet.
Yeah. I don't know if he was listening or our engineer here was texting him, but I think we got him on the line. Up, he's gone.
Too far.
Yeah, if he's listening, Butch, if you're listening, call back and make it quick. We only got a couple of minutes left.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and not to scare anybody off, the church could have been a lot warmer last night between the fans we had and the exhaust fans up in the top of the church that they got working last summer. Definitely a bit cooler, so don't let the heat scare you off.
I think Anna turned off the exhaust fans.
Yeah.
It was, because they're so noisy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
it was a great night.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Despite the heat.
Amen. Amen. Well, we only got a couple of minutes left, Father. Definitely not enough time to cover Bonaventure. And yeah. I know the phone was ringing, but I don't know if it's I think it's the 5 o'clock guest that might be calling in. So, final words. I know you did a final word for Camillus. I don't know if you got anything else on your mind.
Not really. It's just, what I was touched with the most with Camillus was just like we all have these moments of truth that we need to really respond to. They're grace occasions. They're turning points. Like St. Augustine, when he wrote his Confessions, he would look back at his life and he would see the turning points. But he wouldn't see them as clearly as when he looked back. That hindsight is a 20/20 vision. And then he said to himself, well, God was there in my past. Now I know he's here in my present, and he will be there in my future. But we all, turning points are so powerful. And especially when we're at our worst, if we all think about when we're out there with our addictions, there was a moment of truth, a turning point, a friend that would come, a telephone ringing, a special grace and infusion, Ken, something happens to us. And that's God's divine touch, his love, that he just pours himself into us and pulls us up out of the ditch and puts us on the path again with him, that we follow him all the way home. Follow Jesus. Abide with him. Stay with him. Live with him. Dwell in him. Follow him. He's here. He's taken us somewhere. He's taken us home to where we come from, where we're going, and where we belong. In those verdant pastures beside restful waters, with our Heavenly Father and all the angels and saints, Mother Mary, and the whole kibitle canoodle of glory in God's kingdom. That's where we're going, and that's where we belong, Ken. Amen. And the Lord has taken us there. Amen.
Amen. All right, can we get your blessing, Father?
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings in the moments of truth, the grace occasions, the turning points in our lives. Lord, help us to be more aware of your presence, that we may fall more deeply in love with you and follow you to that place in heaven. And the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. God bless everyone. Thanks, Ken.
All right. Thank you, Father. For our listeners, stick around. In the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by Dale Alquist, and we'll be talking about G.K. Chesterton and a book he's written called The Story of the Family. Don't go away. We'll be right back.